the title of this, The Kingdom Seed. There is not a seed in the earth, there is not a seed in heaven that doesn't have life in it. That is the very nature of seeds, is life. And when you get involved in operations with God, you're going to encounter and experience and partake of the life yourself. As something's coming alive in my spirit that wasn't even there a week ago, I just start tapping into, but now something's living there. This is part two. The first part was the Melchizedek tithe. This is a whole different operation altogether. We're going to get into the differences tonight. We're going to begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. So moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or bring to your attention, the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. How then in the great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. Normally those two don't go together. It says abounded to the riches of their liberality. And that word liberality, they actually started giving right in the middle of all of their circumstances. They were in a state of deep poverty, and this grace got on them. And it says, for to their power I bear record. You cannot excuse how they did this and what happened. It released an astronomical, supernatural operation of giving that calls them to come out of their circumstances and be the number one support system of the entire New Testament church. Amen. In fact, come on them so powerfully that Paul was bragging about how this grace, he was bringing this same thing to the Corinthians of what happened to this Macedonian church. He says, for their record, I bear record, beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much energy, or urgently pleading that we would receive their offering or their gift and take upon the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. So Paul, what happened when there was a famine in Jerusalem, and there was a great divide between the Jew and the Gentile churches. And Paul sees this opportunity to go around to all the Gentile churches and receive offerings on the behalf of the Jews so he could say, hey, look, this is your brethren and they love you. And Paul wanted to remove that division that was between them. And he started with the Macedonian churches, in particularly the chief church of Macedonia was the church of Philippi. You'll find that in Acts. And that's where the book of Philippians was written. He wrote it out of Rome, but he wrote it to them at the end of his life. It's one of his final books, if not the final, and he was thanking them for all the support that they gave him of all the years. A lot of churches didn't support Paul, but they did, and they stayed with him. But it was born out of this grace. And God, you think about God raising up a partnership base for Paul. You know, I would have gone to Rome. That's where all the money was, right? But Paul went to a place where everybody was in poverty, need, destitute, and the place where God directly told him to go to Macedonia, and that's where he got beaten and thrown into jail. And that's the place that God ended up opening there in Philippi for Paul as partners for the ministry, for this incredible New Testament ministry. He said, having urgently pleading that we would receive the gift and take upon the ministering of the fellowship of the saints. And drop down to verse 7. And he says, therefore, as you abound in everything, 2 Corinthians 8 and 7, faith, utterance, knowledge, diligence in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Say grace. I speak not by commandment. That's very important. I'm not commanding you to do this. There's no command in the New Testament or anywhere else that you have to do this. There's not an ordinance to do it. There's no command. This is so unique, this type of offering, this type of operation. It's unique in all ways, and it separates itself from the tithe, which I'll get into it in a minute. And then he goes into the grace, verse 9, for you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, for though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty been made rich. So the very foundation of this grace, though it's going to manifest and activate through the realm of giving, it's going to activate something that's so much more powerful than the law could ever done. And its whole foundation is in the grace that the Lord Jesus himself became poverty. He took the curse of poverty upon himself. He was buried under that curse. And he turned around and gives you his standing. A blessing. It's something we cannot earn, but somehow, some way, when this grace gets on you, it activates the kingdom of God and it activates a realm of giving that's not normal. I know that because it's on me right now. And I'm walking around my house looking for something to give all day today. I'm looking for stuff and I'm like, I'm not telling you to do that in any way, shape or form. I'm telling you it gets on you. And I understand what they're saying. It's saying, listen, they're urgently pleading to receive the gift. It's something you can't wait to do. It comes alive in you. It's exciting. It's awakening something and it's fun. It's got life in it. And the wonderful thing about it is, I'll get into this in a minute, your needs and necessities actually become secondary to the kingdom. And it's like it's put kingdom priority in the heart, and it's awesome. Now, your needs and necessities are going to get met in this process, because this seed, this kingdom seed, is different than anything else. But it starts with grace. And I think where we miss it sometimes is, if we don't get this grace on us, we're not going to get this operation. And there's a lot of things that are contributing to what's about to happen. But it can literally multiply you out of where you are into a whole new dimension with God. Literally. That's what he did to the Macedonians. In fact, Paul, if you look in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, he actually said it. In chapter 1, I thank God for your fellowship from the gospel from the first day into now, when I first met you in the very beginning. But this letter was written at the end, and this church of Philippi was the chief city of Macedonia. So they received the grace larger and greater than anyone else did before. And he writes this in verse 15, chapter 4. He says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Even when he went to Thessalonica, remember, he made tents in Thessalonica. Remember Paul? And he went to all these churches and he wasn't receiving offerings from them and boasting this, I'm coming with the gospel freely. He was able to do that. His tent making business was not paying his needs. It was because the Macedonians had partnered with him that he was able to do that. Even in this time, this whole book is about his thankfulness. A lot of it is. And how Epaphroditus was bringing an offering and he almost died on the way because he couldn't find Paul. And he almost died and he almost turned back, but he pressed on. And they finally, that offering showed up. Not like today now. All you got to do is just click a cell phone number and the offering shows up. But in those days, you could hardly find Paul. You didn't know where he was at. And he said, greeting Thessalonica, you sent once again at my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but because I desire the fruit to get abound to your account. But I have all. Now watch this. In abound and full, I've received from Epaphroditus. He's one of the chief stewards. Him, Lydia, Gaius, all of them came out of Macedonia. They're all very powerful. They came out of this grace. They were very renowned in the body of Christ. John even wrote about Gaius. Powerful man of God. He said, of the Epaphroditus, the things which are sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, an incense, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And my God, now we love this scripture, shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. But he was promising to them they were activated in kingdom operation, kingdom priority, kingdom seed, and they had actually locked into partnership with Paul. And so I wrote a little caption here in the notes, said the Macedonian grace and the operation of kingdom seed multiplied the church of Philadelphia, which was the chief city of Macedonia, out of deep trial of great poverty. And the church of Philadelphia went on to be the chief financial partners of the apostle Paul throughout the duration of his earthly ministry. Now, all of that's chapter 8, but chapter 9 is included because he begins that foundation, chapter 8. And now he's writing to the Corinth church and he wants the same thing to happen to them. And so he's in essence preaching the same message he preached to the Macedonians. And he's carrying this over and he says, listen, I'm going to send Titus to you and Titus is going to receive an offering for him. But I want to prepare you because I want to tell you what's happened to this church. And I want the same thing that happened in Macedonia to happen to you. God's all over this is what he's saying. Say, God's in this. His grace is on it. His kingdom's on it. Something's going to happen to you. Something's going to happen to the Jews that are in Jerusalem. Something's going to happen. It's not plunking your offering down. God's about to get in touch. You're about to interact with heaven. It's a lifestyle. And what he was saying, he says, this caused, because we see the effect of it in Philippians, the effect of this partnership that brought him out of poverty and produced these stewards like Lydia, Epaphroditus, Gaius, and it produced a partnership for 15 years in Paul's ministry. And he wasn't very easy to walk around. But they were there all the way to this final offering Epaphroditus brought out from the church of Philadelphia all the way to Rome. He got it there. Amen. He says in chapter 9, he speaks of verse 12, he says, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but the abundant also by the many thanksgivings unto God, while the experiment of this administration, they glorify God. See, Paul wanted the unity. God, he was all over this in multiple ways. And when you understand the operation of the kingdom seed, which we're going to get into tonight, because it's not just the giving. If people don't realize this, I missed this for a long time. It's not just the giving that makes this work. It's the communication. It's the connection with God. It's your faith. It's your operation. I'm going to say something about the tithe on this one. Tithe is unique because it is an administration of God. It is an institution that God created before the law. And we saw last week, it's an institution that continues now with Christ as our Melchizedek priest. But God's the one that set the order of it. And he set the amount and the percentage of it. A tithe means 10%. So he sets the order. Now, somebody who's never tithed before, you might have to exercise a little faith. Those of us in this place, we're pro-tithers. How many is a pro-tither? Raise your hand. You're a pro. You're not novice anymore. You'll find out 90% goes a whole lot further than 100%. The pro-tithers learn that. But it takes a little faith in the beginning. But after a while, when you're a pro-tither, it doesn't take faith at all because you've learned to just do it. How many of you are just the pro-tither doer? So you just do it. So it's not about faith anymore. And after a while, it never will be about faith. It doesn't require a whole lot of faith for those who've learned to do it and it become a lifestyle of tithing. Faith is not a part of the tithing picture. But honor is. What God wants more than in this particular, he wants the honor. Because after a while, we can't let duty, because that's what happened in the priesthood over there. And Malachi says, what a weariness is. And God was listening to them say these things. They got tired of doing it. They lost the honor factor, started bringing the lame, and we got into that. Things were torn, lame, and God instituted the tithe to care to produce the meat of his house in the local church, in the local assemblies. And they missed the whole thing over time. But the interesting thing is what God wants us to continue with in the tithe is the honor. That's something we have to continuously keep before God, is this is an honor. And if we keep our heart right and we keep things right, God will bless. God will do things like rebuke the devourer. Some of us are so used to having the devourer rebuked, you don't know what happens when he gets loose, you know. But he can get loose. We've seen him get loose. We got a little axe. Happened sometime. And I mean, this thing started 3 air conditions in 1 week. That's not normal. There are things that'll happen. How many of you ever had it? It's not normal. You know something's up in the spirit. You have to close the doors. Amen. And once the doors get closed, things start becoming back to normal. He said, I'll pour you out a blessing. We get to interact. He actually speaks the blessing of possessor of heaven and earth over our life. The fact that he just rebukes the devourer is huge. That's a big thing. And he wants to do that. And that is something he constantly wants in our life. But now, the seed is a completely different operation altogether. It is awesome. Because the seed, God did not set a parameter around it. God did not set a percentage. He didn't even put a suggested amount. Now, man will do that. And I said this the other day, I don't feel that when you're dealing, because I'm very careful about this, the reason I probably haven't ventured into it is because I've seen so much excess, and God had to get me over the fact that says, listen, you can't walk because another man's excess. You can't allow that to affect you. You have to walk by truth. Amen. But I'm going to approach this with a little bit of fear and trembling in the sense that I don't believe ministers, we should be throwing out figures and things when you're dealing with seed offering. Because the very nature of it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's look what Paul has to say about this. He's going to pick this up in verse 6. He says, "And this I say, he which soweth or planteth, soweth, giveth sparingly, will reap sparingly. He that soweth, planteth, giveth bountifully, will reap bountifully." Look at verse 7. "Every man according to his own heart." So God left this to the free moral agency of human beings, of New Testament believers. He didn't set the parameter, nor did he set a limitation, because he set something up with the kingdom seed that he set up in the beginning of creation, the realm of endless multiplication. And we can understand that seed is seed no matter what. He is directly speaking of a farmer planting a seed. God himself planted a seed. He said, unless the seed is planted into the ground, it abides alone. It won't do anything. I mean, seed can sit in a shelf and do absolutely nothing. There are a lot of promises that he's going to get into. But if we're not into what he's saying, we can't stand in front of a field and speak to that field, and I command that field to grow. But the seed was never put in there. You can't violate natural law. I don't care how much faith you have, you're not going to get that harvest. If it's operating through seed time and harvest, you're not going to get a harvest by sitting there staring at it, commanded to grow. There has to be an activation. But there's an activation. God is letting us in on the genius of the seed. He's letting us get in on it. And man, he exploded this inside of me and exploded faith for it too. And the beautiful thing about the seed, it is and can be according to your faith. Your faith can get all over it. It can get up in it, all over it, and get stretched by it. But it's according to you. God left it in your heart. He left it according to your heart. Meaning, you don't have to do it. Meaning, I can do a little, or I can do a lot. Man doesn't get to choose that for you. You get to choose that. God, most of the time, won't choose that for you either. The Holy Spirit will lead and direct you if you're already moving with him. It's because he already has an obedient steward, and he already is moving provisions into your storehouse. He's moving things into your economy, and because he knows you're a distributor for heaven. And so he'll start directing you because you've already given the purpose of your heart. If you take a closed book, God is not going to knock on somebody's door and make them open. It is not the way of God. And God set up this kingdom seed like no other way. He lets you decide by according to your revelation, according to the wisdom you're walking in, and according to your faith, and according to your heart. It's according to the love of your heart. But what I found out something about this, when you get going in it, the one thing this thing will do fast is dethrone self. It's amazing to me. When people who struggle financially, they don't partake in this part of God's economic system, they struggle and they actually serve mammon more than you think they would, because their needs on their mind all the time. And they can't get it met. They're working, they're doing, they're striving, and they can't get the needs met, and it's constantly on their mind. What I'm finding about this operation is your needs become very secondary, almost automatic, because the life of the seed starts taking over. The life of God in this area starts taking, and the kingdom priority just starts naturally. The grace starts putting kingdom priority over anything else. And because of that, you're automatically shifting into a servant role with the finances. And because of that, God starts pouring more into you. It's pretty amazing. I mean, I'm just looking personally at what's happened 14 days ago. I started one way, and yesterday I was able to, by the grace of God, give 10 times what I did 14 days ago. Tenfold, all just automatically. And I'm like, wow, that's just almost effortlessly. And now I'm looking to go 10 more fold, you know. I'm like, let's go. Tithing is an institute of grace with instruction to offer 10% of your income to God. This amount was set by divine ordinance and not man. Initially, the believer will have to employ faith in order to give 10%. But after a while, faith is no more needed. Tithing, therefore, becomes an operation of honor over time. Proverbs 3, honor the Lord with the first fruits. The tithe properly offered can open the windows of heaven. Jesus can even rebuke the devourer and pour out blessings upon you. But the kingdom seed can multiply you into a new financial frontier as it did the church of Philippi. The kingdom seed, now it's not a one-time deal. Don't jump into it, get stretched one time. It's a lifestyle. It's a grace that gets upon you that can actually, from what I'm understanding by God right now, can be upon you the rest of your life. It's a rhythm, a frequency, a flow, a river. Look at it as a lifestyle, because once you get into it, it actually starts taking you over. It starts motivating. It starts fueling you. It gives desire to want to do this. It's amazing. The kingdom seed is altogether different. First, there is no commandment, ordinance, or instruction from God as to the percentage or amount the believer should offer. Every man according to his own heart. Not grudgingly, but cheerfully. How you give is everything to do with it. Because you get to decide. Not man. Now, there are some slick willies out there that know how to pull your heartstrings. And they're good at it. Some of them, you'll be sitting in there compelled to do it. But that doesn't mean God's in that. God set it up where you get to decide. Your will, your faith, your heart, your love, your compassion, your flow, your relationship, all gets tied into this. Your position in God gets tied into it. Your faith can stretch out there to the nth degree. Or it can drop a pittance to God. He's leaving it to you to do. But he gives you promises to those who can hear. And this is where we need the word of God to expand us. If we let the word of God expand us and understand and let God stretch us into this, he might have something brand new for you. And it literally can multiply you into a new dimension. Do you know your ministry can command multiplication? Where it wasn't growing, it could command to grow because the seed is commanding the multiplication. God leaves the decision to the free will of the believer. That's very important, though. And I don't think we as ministers or anything should violate that. I believe the believer should have the choice to stretch their faith to the nth degree, or they can still have the choice not to. They got the choice not to do anything, because that's the choice. That's what's so powerful about the seed. God left it by choice. It's one of the arenas that few people partake of. Really partake of. The ones who do know how it works, it manifests for them. Amen. He that gives sparingly will reap sparingly. That gives bountifully, will reap bountifully. God allows the believer to determine the harvest by way of faith. Thus faith, watch this, can be the predominant operation in kingdom seed. Love, faith, compassion. Now, let me talk about alms for a second. Because he's really doing an alms project here. But this is a project, a church-ordered project, city-ordered project. When you see somebody and God says, buy them a bag of groceries or pay the utility bill or hand them $5 or hand them $20. You don't have to go through all this process, lift it up to heaven and say, God, this is my seed, multiply it. It's a different operation. Don't confuse the operation. Don't take your tithe and throw it into alms. Say, oh, God, I'm going to give my tithe to alms. You shouldn't do that. You got to keep things in the order God puts them in. If you keep them in the order, God will bless the order. Just give it, because God said, if you give to the poor, I'll repay you. I'm going to make it up to you. I'll take care of you. You don't have to even have to have that promise. Just do that. Because that's the way alms are. Amen? But this is a different operation. This was a kingdom seed that God was creating for churches. And God was utilizing it to supply the needs of the brethren that were in Jerusalem, but that wasn't the only thing that was going on. He also intended to multiply these people out of their circumstances like he did the Macedonians. So he's going to set a grace on them, and if they could connect to it and then operate in it and move with it and understand it, they could actually get multiplied out of the poverty they were in and become stewards for the kingdom of God. And God was orchestrating this. So a lot of times people say, well, I'm going to give because, you know, I got to strictly give because it's kingdom. I got to be kingdom focused. I don't have me on the mind, but God has you on the mind because he said he did. He wouldn't say what he's about to say here if he didn't have you on the mind. You don't have to get us so overbalanced to be so super spiritual that God's not going to take care of you, because he is. You're going to get a part of this, but God wants to really crank up a river. And then you go stand in front of that river and dip the bucket in. You dip the bucket in. He says, see all that stuff you needed? Look, there's your bucket. But the river keeps flowing. You see that? Don't put the bucket before the river. Let the river crank up. And see this as a river that can force a transformation in your finances. A multiplication that literally from heaven, it can multiply you right out of where you are. I know it's already happening. Praise God. All day I'm speaking to my seed. I'm multiplying and I'm speaking to multiplication all the day. And I'm like, Father, you supply seed to sower. Seed to sower. Praise God. Now this is important right here. He showed me this. Is the kingdom seed can be induced, Holy Spirit induced. Now I said that a minute ago. Holy Spirit is not going to tap a capped well. He's not going to go knocking on your well. Hey, open, open. He's not going to do that. He's got to have already open. You're already moving. You're already moving in the supply of the kingdom of God. You're moving in obedience. And now he'll turn your river somewhere that needs a need. See, he'll direct it. But he already has the open heart, the purpose. It's already been established. But he can create and induce a kingdom seed from that. How many of you had the Holy Spirit ever tell you, give this? And he'll even give you amounts. And sometimes he'll challenge you. And the only reason he does this is because you're already an open door. I had him do that to me. In fact, when I would really give, and boy, he goes, give all of that to this situation right here. But he wouldn't have said that to me if I wasn't available and operational in that area. He's not going to go to a clogged, capped well and say, hey, we're going to open you today. We haven't opened you in 10 years. It's time for you to open. He's not going to do that because he didn't have anything there. He's going to go to the one that's moving. But when he opens that, it's the supply is coming, and so is the multiplication, see. And sometime he will help stretch you out. He'll give you that only because you had the purpose in the beginning. But most of the time, God is going to leave the seed and its amount, its percentage to you. You get to choose. You get to stretch or not stretch. You get to move or not move. It's your choice. He gave it to Adam. He hasn't changed. That's his way. He likes you to make the decision. He likes to put the decision making in your hands. He may give you a field. He may open an opportunity. It can be Holy Spirit induced. It can be kingdom project induced. It can be missions induced. Everyone loves to get the missions. It's amazing. Well, you get a mission project, people just somehow they think because the missions over there is different than the missions over here. They just give everything to missions over there. It's amazing how people are, but all of it, it's the order of God. You're given the order of God, see. Amen? Or, I like this one, can be induced personally by the believer. This is the powerful one. Nobody's putting anything in front of you. There's no need coming through the internet, email. There's no preacher up there giving you the sad woes of what they need for today. It's because you know God. And you've been given authority to plant in the kingdom of God. You've been given authority to sow. And you want to do it just because you want to do it. Now, this is the one that David tapped into. He wanted to build God a house. And Nathan picked up on it. He said, do it, do it. And Nathan went and inquired of the Lord. He came back and said, no, you can't do it. But you get to pay for it. And David, man, God, he says, let me build you a house. Let me pay for it. And boy, see, nobody, and God said, so you're the one. Nobody's ever even come to me and said anything about my ark. Now you want to build a house for it? You want to honor me in this way? He unloaded global wealth on David like nobody else because David generated this thing in his own heart. God didn't come to him and say, build me a house. David thought of it. God said nothing, because I have said nothing to any man concerning my ark. And I've been waiting for someone. And David caught it. Nathan got so stirred when he first came in. He said, yes, do it. Go for it. It's God. And he went and prayed. He said, no, you can't do it. You're a man of war. But you get to pay for it. You get the designs of it. God's going to so exceedingly bless you. And he did. Man, David laid the whoppers down. His mighty men got blessed too, because that got on everybody. See, when you touch heaven in certain things, that is what a seed can do like no other thing. Especially when it has nothing on it, except you and God, just choosing to do it. And he's given it his power. We've been sitting on this the whole time, and I'm sitting, oh God, I want a seed. And that's what I was looking around the house. I said, no, I don't want to tip you, God. I really, really, really want to plant something. This grace gets on you. I'm just telling you, it does. It makes you alive. I said, Lord, what is up with this? I said, I've been doing ministry a long time. I said, what is going on in here? He said, that's the life of the seed. He said, that's the life. Every seed has life. He goes, anything seed related, whether natural or kingdom, has life. Do you not have life when Jesus came into you? He was the seed that fell into the ground. Because if it didn't fall in the ground, it would bow out alone. Nothing would happen. But it fell in the ground and died. God planted it in the garden. And now it's producing multiplication to this day. It's never stopped multiplying. And we're all partakers. God planted his own son. God authored this. God created the genius of it. Amen. That one that can be personally induced. I mean, ain't nobody need to tell you. You don't have to wait for Sunday morning to come around. You're praying to God and you get to do this just because you get to do it. So here's what happens with the induced seed. You ready? Watch what he says, because there's a lot he has to say about this. When you're connected, when you're in the framework, when you're in the groove, when you're in the frequency of it, you're in the life of it. You start living for it. I start listening to people that do this and they live for it. I mean, you live to give. You live to be a blessing. The glorious thing is you're not on the mind anymore. Your needs, yes, I have needs. Do I need things? Yes, but they come secondary. But watch what God has to say from heaven concerning this. It's awesome. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Now watch this. God love a cheerful giver, verse 7. God is able. Now, everything he's about to say in these next couple of verses, he's speaking to the person who got plugged into this grace, activated in this operation, and moving, and he's specifically talking about seed. Amen? And God is able to make all grace to abound towards you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things and abound in every good work. That's a lot of alls and a lot of always. How many of you always have all sufficiency in all things and abounding in every good work, always, every day, all the time? And as it is written, he is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. I have a little notes here. Through activating the grace, this grace through the kingdom seed and giving, God is able to make all grace to abound to you, like he did the Macedonians. That you always have all sufficiency in all things. God will cause you to abound. And he will multiply in personal resources. Ministering bread for your food. Being enriched in every way so that you can continue in great generosity. Look at verse 10. Notice what he says about you. You're always having all sufficiency in all things. Verse 10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, he'll minister bread to your food. That's your provision. That's your refrigerator. That's your new bed that you need. That's your couch to sit on. All that's your house. That's your payment. That is bread for your food. That's in your house. He knows you have need of these things. He understands. He separates. He knows how to separate bread for your food. He knows how to separate kingdom priority. And he knows how to multiply. He includes all of it in it. So he said, He'll minister bread for your food, multiply your seed sown. I'll get to that in a minute. Increase the fruit of your righteousness. Get in that in a minute. Watch this. Verse 11. Here's you again. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. NIV says being enriched in all manner. He didn't say being in poverty. He said being enriched. He used rich. Oh my God, the word of God used rich. He has to enrich you in the process. Because he's going to make a steward out of you. Because what God wants is more than just meeting your needs. He wants to make a steward out of you. He wants to make a reservoir out of you. He wants to make a river out of you. He's thinking a lot bigger than you are. God's thinking about you. He's thinking about where you are. He's thinking about right now and your eternal reward too. He's working an eternal reward. He's working something on your behalf. He's going to start supplying your needs, bread for your food. Your cupboards are not going to be bare anymore. You'll be amazed how money starts flooding in. Things get unlocked. Somebody said, oh, it unlocked anyway. Well, 4 months it didn't unlock. And suddenly I did this and it unlocked within the first week. So, you know, I'll take God did it. Just unlocked it. So he's going to enrich you in every way. Now watch, he also has your eternal reward on in mind and increasing the fruit of your righteousness in the earth, which is going to cause an eternal reward because God doesn't want you walking up into heaven delinquent of reward. The Lord's representing you far greater than this earth. Man, he makes a river, a reservoir out of you. You're going to increase your eternal reward 100-fold what it's increasing now. He's giving you an opportunity. What the Macedonians, they got in on funding all of Paul's ministry. They get his reward. Thessalonica didn't get it. He made tents over there. They didn't get anything. But the Macedonians did because they sent twice to him in Thessalonica. They got his reward because they tapped into the grace. Because you have to understand, it's kingdom too. It's you. It's kingdom. God can work it all together.
What about my new car?
He can work a car. God has not lost his touch in producing donkeys. When you get into this, you get so kingdom focused, he'll start adding. That's what he said. He'll add. He'll get part of the program, but the river's getting produced. It's working a far exceeding way to glory now because you don't have you on the mind anymore. It's kingdom and it's pouring out of you. You move in a different mindset now. Your whole heart and your focus shifts. Oh, they just want something out of me. Oh, no, they're going to get something out of me because I got it and I'm going to get a whole lot more of it. Because everything shifted now. Amen? You shift in the way you see, feel, discern, and think about things. You become a blessing in the earth instead of needing the blessing. More importantly, the kingdom fruit will both abound here and in your heavenly account. He makes you abound in every good work. Verse 8. Not just having a part, but abounding in it. Thus stating your righteousness displayed through giving will remain forever upon your account. Say forever. His righteousness will remain forever. Furthermore, promising to increase the fruit of your righteousness. Verse 10. He says he ministers bread for your food, multiplies your seed sowing, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You see that? He's going to increase your capacity to serve in the kingdom. Finally, God promises, this is the powerful one. You got a revelation of this. God promises to multiply, say multiply, your kingdom seed. He does never promise to multiply the tithe. He said, I'll pour you out a blessing, but he promises. You know why? Because the tithe gets set. The tithe can go on autopilot. I'm not diminishing the tithe. It's an awesome thing. We got into the glory of it last week. But this one, you get to put your faith into. This one can catapult you into a whole new dimension. Just because you choose. But it's not a one-time deal. Don't get started into a one-time deal. Get ready for a lifetime of it. Get a vision to be a river of God. God will make it happen. He says this multiplication can literally catapult you out of poverty, debt, lack, need, and destruction into a brand new financial arena with God. Isn't that awesome? And finally, God can and will supply kingdom seed to the sower. Question, are you a sower? Notice this, he says, God supply. He will even put seed in your hand. To the people who sow, he'll put it in your hand. God is awakening things, my friend. Those of you listening, it's sitting right here in front of you. You get to choose with this. That's the beautiful thing. No man gets to manipulate this thing. If they do, it's wrong. You know why they manipulate? Because they don't know how to do it themselves. They just learn how to get it out from you. Or they did it one time and they lost it. And they don't know how to get back into it. Or they got something wrong. You know, if you got something wrong with your life, it won't work for you. You got to get things right with God. It's relationship based. It's the whole thing. But you get in alignment with these things and it starts working for you. You don't have to beg. It'll roll. You'll have faith that'll override everything else that you're seeing. Amen. And you can become the head and not the tail. You can become above only and not beneath. It's awesome. Praise God. Amen. This is the seed. Don't confuse it with a tithe. Don't put them together. Separate them. They all have different purposes. Separate your alms. Separate tithing. Separate seed. When you learn to do these things in an order that God establishes, you'll see God, his direction, his blessing, and what he said about it show up. Amen? Praise God. Well, I hear it now. I've always been a giver. Yeah. But have you always seen by revelation what you're doing? You got to see it as much as what you're doing. You got to understand it. And you got to get your faith, your walk. You got to get your union with God involved in it. And you got to get the grace on you. There's a lot of things. But once it starts working, you'll feel it. You'll know it. You'll get into the river. Yeah, well, I tried that. This is not something you try. This is something you have to adopt completely, 100%. Amen? Or you don't. And that's the beauty of it. Because God, this is not about law, duty. Amen? It's about the glory of interacting with this unlimited kingdom of God. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah.